Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany, Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we are, all set to begin a righteous rockin' and rollin' Titanic Tuesday on the horn. Yes, yes, yes. No, it didn't take me that long. I knew it was Titanic Tuesday all along. It is, in fact, the 8th day of December 2015. This is the horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. The third switch is thrown. And has to be rethrown. I'm surrounded by technology, none of which works every freaking time. Yeah, it's thrown. There should be, like, you know, a drum tattoo going on in the background for you now. No. Okay, there we go. There we go. All settled in nicely. Yes, it is the 8th day of December 2015. In the chat room, King of Cups asks, why do we even have that lever? Throw the third switch! Yes, that's why, because when I forget to do it, you can remind me and I'll notice that the third switch isn't thrown. Industrial redundance, self-correcting chaos, I don't know. But I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. It's too good to be true, feast your eyes on me. Let the bells ring out and the banners fly, but I'm here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is Titanic Tuesday. And so we got the intro, and we pot that down, and we're all happy and good. And the audio looks like it's passing nicely. The packets are cooperating, and well, And you know what? It was a bizarrely lovely day outside today. It was, if it didn't get up to 70 degrees here, about 13, 14 days before the first day of winter. Well, I guess this is what the world is like now. Somebody call Jim Inhofe. I keep putting him aside for you know, he's got save for prayer meeting Wednesday stamped on him. I don't know if it can last, but Titanic Tuesday. And listen, a little announcement, of course. We start the evening. We try to raise $200 every program, so we're at $290 for this evening. Thank you again to Randy and Dave, and to Felicia, who is a subscriber. Thank you very kindly. We got $290 to go this evening, but there's something else. There is something else to mention. Now, daggone, what in the... Hold on a minute.
Now, how did that happen? Clearly it did.
Too many wires. The Skype machine came unbatteried. Hopefully we'll be back in a moment. If you were seeing my little green dot on Skype and I suddenly became not green anymore,
somewhere along the way, the power brick got.
Really? Really? Is this what today's going to be? Is this what this evening's going to be? Oh, Jesus.
It's okay. It's okay, Bob. Let him go now. Let him go now. We don't have to put up the Beware of Bob sign. No. Our buddy Horst posted that over on my Facebook page. We need a Beware of Bob sign. But anyway. What I was going to mention. Oh, yeah, we're going to reboot the... Yeah, absolutely. Let's reboot the whole... Continue with system resume. Who knew? What I was going to say is I have recently received, on behalf of us, or three people, I have recently received another dispatch of magnificent, lovely artwork from here inside Almost Level West by Cole, Virginia, Stan. Mm-hmm. And it's out there, and so what I have here, you may recall in the past, we have had a turkey feather with a little fox kit on it, and we've had with the log and it, right, and they're absolutely beautiful. Well, now there's a new series out. And I'm in possession of three framed, painted turkey feathers. And each one has the image, it's a classic Native American image upon it. And these have been contributed to the horn as a way of saying thank you for a substantial amount of fundraising. So, what these previous installments have gone at about $400 a piece, and so that's where we're going to be working. But I was speaking with the artist and talking about how we could make this more accessible. And an idea took shape. So I got a notice here. I have an idea as to how to raise money and give people who can't afford $400 or $500 a pop to have a chance of getting one of them. For every $10 or whatever amount you choose, contributed to the horn over a certain period of time. And what we're going to do is we're going to do this over the week. We're not going to limit to $10. Every contribution, this is a democracy thing. Every contribution that takes place between now and close of the program at the end of the week, or maybe we'll push it out to more end Monday. That way we'll have an even, let's do it. Let's get now through Monday. Every single contribution gets written down and put in a hat. And hopefully that will, that'll mean more than, but you see what I'm saying? Does this make any sense? Every contribution gets put in a hat. And at the end of that time, I will have all the names in a hat. I got the hat right over here. And I will have Agnes reach in and draw out a name, and that person will win one of these, will receive one of these feathers. Totally democratic, totally no bias or no amount bias or anything like that. And the other two, if you just flat out want one, the other two will go at $400 a piece, which has been the average going price for anyone who wanted them. So there you have it. And they are, beautiful. And I'll try to tweet out some pictures, and it'll show up on Facebook too. And you can go and have a look. But the artist in question had the model sitting right there to paint onto the turkey feather. It should, well, it will be a beautiful thing. And by the way, they are already matted, mounted, and framed. So you have that as well. And they are just lovely, lovely, lovely. Okay? Now, obviously, I think if you decide that you want one of these, then, you know, you can just contact me and we'll make it happen. And we won't put you in the drawing for the second one, if that's okay. Okay? But I love art. I love visual art. And I love the idea of everybody having a chance at owning one of these things. Okay. So, how do we begin this? Oh, and by the way, if you want to participate along those lines, we need to use the PayPal thing because it's hard for me to know if it's going via traditional U.S. Postal Service kind of thing. Right. Yeah. So, okay? Okay. I don't know. We'll get another suggestion from Brother Deacon Asa, and I don't know if we can really do that. Maybe talk about it in the interim. Note coming in from Ron. He says 5x5 in the unfrozen north. I'm still enjoying watching the Republican proletariat swoon at Donald's feet. The hoi polloi, willing to wipe out the Constitution and the Norman Rockwell vision of the American dream. I'm also glad that I'm somewhere outside the spray pattern. And isn't that the truth? This is, because I promise you, Ron, it is not nearly so much fun to watch from here inside the NRA Death Lottery Casino. Because, you know, we tend to look at, like, the xenophobia of Donald Trump and see it as somehow a separate and yet somehow equally embarrassing issue as compared to, say, the NRA death lottery. But is it really? How much philosophical space is there between wanting to ban certain religions from entering the United States. And hey, according to America's walking id made flesh, it applies to American citizens, too, that are Muslims. I mean, if you're Muslim and you happen to be traveling, let's say you you were anticipating winter, and say you flew out of, say, Minneapolis because you wanted to go and enjoy some warm tropical sun in, say, St. Lucia, Curacao, Puerto Rico. You don't even have to leave Merca. No passports involved. Well, you know, Puerto Rico, kind of suspicious, isn't it? Yeah, I know what you mean. But definitely if you go to, say, the British part of the Virgin Islands or the Bahamas or God knows Cuba, right? Well, Donald says you can't come back in until we figure this stuff out. And how long do you think that's going to take until we figure this stuff out? Because I'm guessing the answer to till we figure this stuff out is something approaching, never. Never, 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 never. Yeah. Now, to be fair, I want to say that I have an alternative proposal. I say that we ban entry into the United States by, and of course we can't do any. I'm constitutional about this. We can't do anything about pre-existing American citizens. But if you want to come to America, and God knows why you would, but if you want to come to America and try to become a American citizen, well, you're welcome to, as long as you have no religion at all. No Muslims, no Jews, no Christians, no Baha'i, no Buddhists, no Shinto, no Hindus, no Jains, no animists. Ha-ha. The only people we're going to allow henceforward to immigrate into the United States will be atheists and agnostics and other forms of free thinkers. And I figure if we do that, then we might solve this entire problem in, say, 100 years or so. Right? Right. No, that's mean-spirited too, isn't it? But when I say it, it really becomes obvious how mean and dumb it is. I don't know if that's anything special about me, but you get the idea. And after all, this is, in fact, Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. And we reserve Titanic Tuesday for those instances of usually particularly right-wing thought or attempts at thought, attempts at higher cognitive brain functions. That serve as a reminiscent honor to that day here in America's fifth smallest radio market when Steve took a call from one of his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers and answered the question, how come you reckon we got seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? We ain't nowhere near the beach. By saying, well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates. It's almost like he was one of those voice-generated sort of Max Headroom, only Max Headroom had more personality. One of those voice-generated computer voter vocoder kind of, you know, thank you. The number you have dialed, right, although those have more personality too. But that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates. Right. No word so far on the movement of the Titanic chafing dishes. Yeah, here in 100 years or so, we could be the new United States of non-belief. And we could be a haven and beacon of sanity and to the entire world. Mm-hmm. And then we could invite all the Christians and Muslims and Jews and Hindus and to just fight it out on the entire planet. And we'll just mind our own business. Thanks. Okay, great. Right. Speaking of Titanic intellect, and granted, this isn't right-wing, but I'm sure it is supported in some quarters by the right-wing. It's also supported by your likely middle-of-the-road mugwump Democrats. We have a new deal. Because, as Calvin Coolidge once famously noted, the business of America is business. And screw you, Ethel Merman. It's not that there's no business like show business. There's no business like death business. There's no business like bomb business. There's no business where the United States of America, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, is concerned. Mm-mm. There, we just loves us some war business. And guess what? We've got a new deal. Come on down. Yeah, we're gonna sell us some brand shiny new bombs to our partners in peace, the Saudis. Yeah, because they've been needing some new bombs to drop on innocent men, women, and children there in the Yemen. Yeah, such as.
because that's awesome. And so since we're on Saudi Arabia's side in Yemen, and since we signed a deal for nuclear non-proliferation with the Iranians, then we just felt like it would only be fair if we sold them a whole bunch of so-called smart bombs that can kill a whole bunch of people till they're not smart anymore, and that's why they're called smart bombs. Yep. I guess that whole George Washington avoid foreign entanglements thing is just completely out of it's just out of fashion. It's so 18th century, darling. That Washington, I mean, there he was. He had all of his money tied up in slavery when he could have been in the arms and munitions business, which is so much better because, you know, they're always making more brown babies somewhere in the world, and that means there'll always be someone for us to sell our bombs and munitions to, and they can go and drop them on those brown babies, and they'll cry and carry on for a bit, but after a time, they'll start making more brown babies for us to bomb. I mean, it seems a part of the natural order of things now, doesn't it? By Jove!
Mm-hmm.
No, really. It's worth billions of dollars, this bomb deal. And the Saudis say that if only we would send them better bombs, they would kill fewer men, women, and children and non-combatants and stuff. And, of course, being the Saudis, they're a bunch of filthy liars, and they don't give a goddamn who they drop the bombs on. But and us, we don't have enough courage to say, hey, guys, you know what? We're still a little pissed off over 1973. What do you say you institute some democratic reforms in your country and start letting women drive cars and, oh, wearing pants, and, you know, we'll talk. No, because we're still hopelessly addicted to hydrocarbons. If we'd been listening to Jimmy Carter back in the 70s, we'd have solar panels all over the place. We'd have wind turbines just turning lazily in the wind, making electricity for our cars and all kinds of stuff, and wouldn't need nearly the oil that we need now. And thus would not be beholden to a bunch of goddamn 7th century goddamn miserable freaks who do things like order nannies to be stoned to death because they're so civilized, our partners in peace, the Saudis, aren't they? Oh, yes, they're not. Bunch of goddamn barbarians. But that's okay. We'll jump right into bed with them as long as the check clears. Did the check clear? Okay, cool. What do you say we... Hey, your royal, serene, noble, majestic, highness, graciousness, what do you say we go holding hands and walking through the bluebells like you and your boyfriend George W. Bush used to do? Maybe, you know what, maybe we can make President Not Sure kiss you right on the mouth eater like George W. Bush done did. I'm still not over that. That's sickening. Not because it's a gay straight thing. That's not what's sickening. It's sickening to watch an American president kiss right on the mouth. I mean, was there any tongue? I don't know. But right on the mouth, a person who routinely says, well, yes, of course, off with their heads. And you have to, of course, then imagine, you know, from 1962 in the David Lean film of Lawrence of Arabia. Of course, you have to remember, you have to imagine all your Saudi royals as being Alec Guinness, even though that was the Hashemite family and not the house of Ibn Saud, but that gets confusing, so screw it. So the bottom line is we're going to sell a whole bunch. Wait a minute, I'm still on the internet. We are going to sell an absolute rockin' shitload of bombs to the Saudis to drop on some poor people living in basically adobe homes in Yemen. Right. Because Iran, even though Iran is our ally, when you move a little further north in that benighted region, and we're talking about the is. Mm-hmm. I'm just way too simple. I could never be a diplomat. I really couldn't. I couldn't be a diplomat because it requires you to have absolutely no morals and no scruples whatsoever.
I mean, I had to run out just a couple of minutes before airtime. And so driving back, I was tuned into National Pentagon Radio, public radio, when I heard some former ambassador to Saudi Arabia being interviewed, in which he said, well, you know, the Saudis claim that this will cut down on the number of civilian casualties, these smart weapons, but as we saw in Iraq, we killed an awfully great deal of civilians there, and in the long run, I think you're always going to have the problem of civilian casualties. And I thought, absolutely, your diplomaticness, absolutely, as long as you're still making war. Because have you noticed that? At no point in any of these discussions does the notion arise that somehow, maybe, things get a little bit better if we stop making war. I mean, I guess that I'm just a freaking anachronism, right? Stop making war. The United States. Who does he think he is? Stop making war. What do you think? Well, what do you think our great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky god makes all them brown babies for? They're there. They're bomb fodder. Because it's no fun to just drop bombs on sand. You gotta have some little brown babies on them to go splat. Cause that's what makes us Merca. The greatest country in the world, on earth, now, today, forever, indivisible, under God. I mean, Don Rumfield done told us back when we was the first bombing of the Afghanistan. He said, they ain't nothing there to bomb. They don't have any good fun targets. That's why we need to bomb the Iraq and such as. Oh, Lord, this does piss me off. As if you can't tell. So, I guess, what, the royal, majestic, noble, serene graciousness that is the Saudi royal family, they'd stop selling us oil if we was to say, we were to say to them, no, we've decided to take a pass on selling you any more bombs, our conscience bothers us. I don't know, but I'm getting to where I despise them more and more. You know, not your average Saudi citizen. No. Well, I mean, to the extent that they have to be like weirdo Wahhabists. Okay, I got an issue with that. We keep talking about how Tashfeen Malik came from Pakistan, but the fact of the matter was, dude went to meet her in Saudi Arabia. And can I ask a question here? What woman in her right mind? Anywhere in the Muslim world, except under the circumstances of going for what passes for basically bondage servitude for some kind of crap low-wage job, what woman anywhere in the Muslim world would willingly go to Saudi Arabia where she can't even drive a car, where the outfit is just one step away from full-out freaking burqa? And in some cases, is full-on freaking burqa. I mean, who wants to live in the blazing desert sun wearing black? You get the larger idea. But that's where she got radicalized. Because as much or more than oil radicalized Islam is the chief export of Saudi Arabia. Because the royal, serene, majestic, noble, graciousness, highness family of Ibn Saud, long dead, thank you, they let the Wahhabist freak imams have their way in exchange for the Wahhabist freak imams helping to prop up the royal, majestic, noble, serene, gracious house of Ibn Saud so that the people won't rise up and come after them and cut their heads off instead. See how it works?
What a damn mess. Maybe there was a reason George Washington said, avoid foreign entanglements.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if that's not an example, if that's not an example of titanic intellect, the entire Muslim world on fire, well, okay, no, not the Muslim world. The Muslim world extends out into the freaking Pacific Ocean. The Muslim world exists in, you know, little Islamic community centers in the United States. No, not the entire Muslim world, but the Middle East. With the Middle East on fire, we've decided to sell to send them a few cans of gasoline, so to speak. Damn, 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 damn. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted us to have something to talk about this evening before we had to go into the T-Rump swamp, the twomp. Mm-hmm. By the way, Brother Deacon Asa, based on something I said a couple of minutes ago, he says, notice it's only the women who are forced to wear black in the blazing desert sun. The men wear white sheets, thank you very much, which is considerably cooler. Mm-hmm. And reflective of said sunlight.
Yeah.
Well, but see, that way makes sure that the vagina people don't want to go outside very much because they have to wear the black, and that means they get beat down on by the harsh Arabian sun. And wouldn't it be better just to stay in the house and never be seen? You know, being as how being female, they are a curse upon the planet. I mean, yeah. Right, a mark of sin's entry into the world. Jesus. How do any of these Abrahamic religions manage to have any female adherents at all? No, no, no. You guys go worship your sky god, okay? Yeah, bye now. No, we want nothing to... Oh, really? Okay, you're going to cut our heads off if we don't believe in your god. Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. And that's all. That's Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. They've all got horrible, 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 horrible misogyny problems. And based on a documentary that Agnes and I were watching last night, apparently so too do the origin myths of the ancient Greeks. Women were visited upon humanity, which consisted solely of men, which tells you a little bit about the ancient Greek view of society. Women were visited on humanity, which consisted solely of men, as a curse. Not kidding. Bronze Age. Now, and of course, the one Bronze Age culture that has left us some measure of visual evidence that maybe they weren't a bunch of weirdo misogynists gets wiped out by a volcanic eruption. I guess that was caused by Zeus or something. You know what I mean? The lovely murals and paintings of Minoan women on Crete, who apparently would wear little short skirts and not much else. I mean, not that I'm just like, you know, a middle schooler and boobies. No, but they look very happy. You know, not a lot of women looking happy in other cultures of that time and place. But on Crete, they look absolutely delighted to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Flowers and dolphins and, you know, boom. Thera blows up, 1400 BC. Everything goes sideways. Yeah. How did I go there? I don't know. But yeah, I did. I wanted to talk about something before we went into the Trump swamp. Because we have to sooner or later, and there's damned well no getting around it. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. Now, No, there's no getting around it. Definitely no getting around it. Let's. How do we do this? Because this is so odious, so just unmitigated hateful, so absolutely disgusting that you have to. Here's a nice entree. You remember Granny Fiore from the photograph that we talked briefly about last night, where even little 5-year-old grandson was holding a real live, honest to Jesus firearm there in their Merry Christmas picture, because Christ means love and guns mean Christ's love. Yeah. She's back in the news. Yeah, Assemblin Fiore, the repig licking, has apparently a radio show on Las Vegas, on a Las Vegas radio station every month. It's the radio station KWDN, who must be absolutely damn desperate for content. I mean, I'm thinking you could play a 1 kilohertz sine wave test tone and make more sense out of it than Michelle Fiore. But they were asking her, why was it she didn't sign on to the statement of Republican, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, Christian, evangelical, gundamentalist, ammosexual principles that said Nevada Republicans don't want no Syrian refugees. And she was ready. She was ready. She said, what, are you kidding me? I'm about to fly to Paris and shoot him in the head myself. I am not okay with Syrian refugees. I'm not okay with terrorists. I'm okay with putting them down, blacking them out, just a piece of brass in their ocular cavity and end their miserable life. I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. She wants to, she doesn't want to just prevent Syrian refugees from coming to Merca. She wants to go somewhere else and kill some for fun. I want to put a piece of brass in their ocular cat. She wants, in other words, she wants to shoot them right through the eyeball so that the discharged shell casing will lodge where their eye used to be, in that hole in their skull where eyes go, because Jesus. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, all over the media landscape today, and God knows I feel dirty even talking about it, because it's like giving him free publicity. But we're talking amongst ourselves, and there's not much risk of you or me ever being moved to vote for T-Rump Mussolini with bad hair. No. So we can do this, I think. I'm scared. Can I just say that? I'm scared. I really am. Why am I scared? Because I'm about halfway convinced now that this country really could, no kidding, elect this man president. Maybe you don't. But when you hear the kind of stuff that I've heard over the course of the last day or so, and you realize what the mindset is, as I have, of our, your, and mine, fellow Americans, it gets more than a little scary. A lot more. Dadgummit. Now, this is getting to be, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to pick my words very, very carefully. Because I don't want to be perceived as hysterical. I don't want to I don't want to be anything but absolutely serious in all of this. You know, of course, by now that he's declared, based upon some stupid website post from Frank Gaffney, who thinks that, good God, Dick Cheney is a secret Muslim. I mean, Frank Gaffney is the 21st century answer to the John Birch Society, if the John Birch Society had ever gone away. And based on that, there's a call to, we started talking about this yesterday. A call by Trump to ban all Muslims from entering the U.S. Apparently, according to a spokescreep, even if the Muslims in question happen to be American citizens who have been abroad and are simply trying to come back home. And that's the absolute truth. Queen of the Minions, Carol Baker, pointing out Frank Gaffney is the love child of Donald Trump and Pamela Geller. That's about how it breaks out. It's frightening to watch our country go down this path. It is terrifying to watch our country go down this path. Because if you have any working knowledge of our country's history whatsoever, you know that we are capable of horrible, horrible, horrible abuses. Hell, it took us, 1607, 1707, 1807, 200. It took us in excess of 250 years to eliminate human bondage slavery, chattel slavery. That means for 250 years we were more or less okay with it. And even after the U.S. government was formed under the Constitution in 1787, the issue of slavery got more and more and more... became more odious, I guess, is one way of putting it. If it's possible for something like slavery to get more odious, it did. And so it got to the point in the House of Representatives that there was a rule passed. And that rule said that no member of the House of Representatives... Now, you talk about... The House of Representatives is supposed to be sort of the ultimate bastion of free speech. I mean, for instance, a member of the House of Representatives enjoys almost total legal immunity for anything said on the floor of the House. And yet, the House of Representatives passed a rule in the mid-19th century that said that no member of the House could even so much as bring up or broach the subject of the abolition of slavery. Mm-hmm. And we know, for instance, that that sort of thinking is in place once again, because when the idea came up for preventing people on the terrorist watch list from being able to buy guns from proud NRA member gun stores in America, or, you know, how about gun shows and gun conventions and gun-gasms, like the Crossroads of the West gun show that we talked about last night on Moran Monday. The House of Representatives would not even allow it to be discussed. Mm-hmm. And so I tend to see things in I see things as sort of conjoined, where maybe they aren't, but they are in my mind. And so I'm seeing stuff happen here in Merca that give me considerable pause, that make me downright, as we say here in the hills, skeert. Real, real skeert. Because we as a people, as a country, are manifesting a degree of hatefulness and pants-wetting fear that I don't even think we were like this when in the immediate aftermath of September the 11th, 2001, were we? Honest to God, I don't think so. Now, I have here audio from a series courtesy of MSNBC of a number of people down at a little location called Patriots Point in Charleston, South Carolina, the home of American sedition. And they're being asked how they personally feel, what they think, and we use the term loosely, these are, after all, Trump supporters, what they think about Trump's declaration that we must eliminate all Muslims from being able to enter the United States until, quote, until we figure this thing out, unquote. Work with me here, please. This is a struggle for me. I'm so goddamned unremittingly sick of this that I could just, I could collapse into a little bawling heap. I see, you know, it's all Robert Frosty for me, where two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and I followed the ones with the goddamn fascist go this way sign, and then the next thing you know, I was selling cigarettes under a goddamn watchtower somewhere. Robert Frost. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a Klan rally near. Robert Frost. And so these are real live, honest to Jesus Trump supporters who are allowed to vote
who get to vote, even though there are 92-year-old women of color in this country who will not be able to vote because they don't have a picture ID and they live in some godforsaken corner of Talabama, and the nearest DMV office is 150 miles away, and they don't have licenses and they don't drive, so too bad, Granny! But these dangerous, goddamn goose-stepping, brown-shirted fucking clowns are going to get... Yeah, I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote twice. So the question is being put to them, you know, what do you think about what Trump said? Need I suggest that you might want a hockey puck for this? No, really, you so want a hockey puck for this. 3 or 4 strips of duct tape. Get a good bite on it before you get started, because you might just chew right through.
Very prudently, after due diligence, and I...
Wait a minute, let's go all the way to the back. Okay, sorry.
I think that that is a very wise decision, made very prudently after due diligence, and I am very impressed with the fact that he's bold enough to come out and do that.
I wonder if I could ask you about Donald Trump's proposal. He wants to ban Muslims from being able to come into the country. This is as of a few minutes ago. Do you think this is a good idea, bad idea? What are your thoughts?
I think it's a good idea. With everything that's going on in the world right now, I mean, it sounds harsh, but reality is reality.
So this would make you more likely to support him or less likely to support him?
More. Absolutely.
I see you nodding a lot. What are your thoughts when you hear about this proposal?
We both we kind of have the same agreement on it, so we talk about it.
Yeah, I'm this here's South Carolina, and I'm a woe man, and I know to be quiet in church like it says there in the good book. So I look to him for all of my opinions, and so whatever he says, I'm in agreement with. That's how that works.
We're definitely the same.
And Donald Trump's really evolved on this. I mean, he started by saying that we have to look at it, and now he's become...
What the kind of question? Donald Trump's... What, is she trying to, like, be a stealth reporter? So, oh, you're from that heathen MSNBC, ain't you? Yeah, okay. No. Donald Trump's really evolved on this? Donald Trump hasn't evolved from picking his teeth with his toenail clippings. What are you talking about, lady? Oh, he's huge. It's going to be huge. Stop you know, preventing all the Muslims from coming here. It's going to be huge.
You know, more concrete on his position. And what do you think? Is this a good idea?
I think it's a good idea, yeah. There's too much going on in the world. I think we need to protect America first.
Do we think it's a slippery slope at all to ban just blanketing one ethnic group or one religious group?
I don't think so, because it's hard to vent them, obviously.
It is. It is, obviously, it is hard to vent your Muslims. Mm-hmm. That's why back to the house. I live in a tar paper shack, but I got me at least 16 AR-15s, and that's for your Muslim venting. Now, meanwhile, this guy's got a beard, and I mean, he could fit right in with ISIS. I mean, he could meet the facial hair requirements of that particular deity, because, you know, all of these Bronze Age monotheistic deities are very much concerned about how one wears one's hair and how one curls one's hair and how one covers one's hair and what one has for lunch and what kind of clothes and the fibers and right. Because God is love, y'all.
We've seen that in the current terrorist attacks in San Bernardino and in Paris. It's easy to get away with the intel and all that, so...
Oh, well, Cletus done said intel, so we know he's a thinking Cletus. Yep.
Yeah, it could. No.
So, good idea or bad idea?
I say ship them all back.
Ship them all back. Because, see, you know, that's what I say, is ship them all back, because that's an easy answer. Because, you know, everybody says, people come up to me and they say, Cletus, whatever shall we do about the freed slave freedmen? And I say, ship them all back. See, one answer fits all. Yeah, ship them all back.
to where? Well, Cletus ain't got an answer on that. It, when all else fails, what you need to do is just lob a couple of shells out at that old fort in the harbor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the intel's real. I mean, you know, look at San Bernardino. Yeah. Got to protect America.
Seriously.
And he's saying don't let any more come in.
Don't.
Seriously, Scrow. Why you don't got no tattoo?
Don't let any more come in. Ship them all back.
Okay. And are you here as a Trump supporter?
I am. Yes.
So if the election.
Yeah, they're going to let me vote, goddammit, because I am white and over 18, and I'm going to just vote all over the place. Yes, indeed. Because, see, for some reason or another, the dumbasses in the rest of the country allow South Carolina to have one of the earliest primaries when, frankly, we probably should have the very lastest one if we was allowed to have one at all. But we're gonna set the tone here, baby. Yes, we are. We're gonna make a whole bunch of Republicans drop out. You know that our very own little old Lindsey Graham. You know, see, we don't want him being president because we want him to stay right there in the Senate because it's so sweet how it is with him and John McCain, especially when he says, "Hold me, John." And John comes along, and he's bringing him a mint julep. It's charming. It is absolutely charming. It is darling. I'm going to vote for Trump.
For tomorrow, you'd vote for him?
I would.
Is there anything that would change that?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Does that make you more or less likely to support him, do you think?
I'm still going to support him.
But it doesn't seem to sit right with you.
I'd have to think about it a while.
Okay.
I'd have to absolutely think about that for a while.
Yeah, you know who's not there? Black people. You know who's not there voting for Trump? Mexicans. Mm-hmm. Even the legal ones. No, not there. And apparently there were no self-hating Muslims in the crowd either. Because, see, this is real easy. We can have a high old time on this. We can have 17 shades of fun. But it ain't all right. This country is... Okay, look. We got phone lines here. You want to tell me I'm wrong? Tell me I'm wrong. I want to. Jesus Christ Almighty! You don't know have any idea how badly I want to be wrong. So this evil bastard says he wants to prevent any Muslims from coming into the United States. You know, even the ones that's already Merkins. And even Count Dicula says,
"Oh, that's not who we are as Americans. That's a bit far-fetched to me because, we always got to have somebody in this country to hate, and Muslims are pretty convenient that way."
But of all the responses to this, the one that speaks to me most clearly and plainly is the response. I mean, Lindsey, as soon as he got over having the vapors, John had to bring the smelling salts. As soon as he got over the vapors, he said, "Mercy sakes, you know what? It would be better to elect a Democrat the president of the United States than to elect Donald Trump. You want to make America great again? You tell Donald Trump I said to go to hell." Mm-hmm. Lindsey did. Lindsey is in high dudgeon. And, you know, that's not who we are as a country. But then there he is, the anointed future king of America. Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, who took a boat from Cuba to Canada.
and never felt particularly inclined to need to be an American citizen until about, oh, 5, 6, 7 years ago. He was in the United States, 17 years or so. Rafaelito was born a Canadian citizen. But there's Rafaelito. Sorry for the cheesy accent, I apologize. I start rolling R's and it all goes downhill from there. But Rafaelito, they asked him about what Trump said about not letting any Muslims into Merca. And you know what Rafaelito said? It's not my policy. That's it. That's what he had. That's not my policy. See, the problem with a statement like that's not my policy, though, is that it can go either way. Oh, no, my policy is to throw them into some goddamn ovens. See what I mean? That's not my policy. I don't want to keep them out of the United States. I just want to put them in some camps. I think we got some. Isn't there some property out in California? Didn't we do this once before? I mean, couldn't we do that with all the Muslims? Because, of course, along the way, Trump said his idea was it was huge. It was a great idea, full of greatness, because, you know, FDR did that. Mm-hmm. So that man of constitutional scholarship, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, says it's not my policy. Yeah, I just want them to all get tattoos. Why don't you got no tattoo? Unscannable! Mm-hmm. So, did you get... You get the idea we're going into some really, really nasty territory. And there was some fascinating stuff out there. Here's a tweet. Nicole Wallace, over there at Morning Joe. Nicole Wallace tweeted, she didn't tweet. She just summed it up by saying, "I want to eat glass." Now, bear in mind, a reporter for CNN saying Lady Liberty hangs her head in shame. Is she still serving out a suspension for saying that? But if you're a right-winger, former member of the Bush, the dim leader, reign of error administration, you can say, "I want to eat glass," about Donald Trump. But you can't say anything. I mean, but if you're at Chicken Noodle News, I mean, you can't say anything about the Statue of Liberty hanging her head in shame or anything. Don't do that. Yeah, you know what? Maybe we need to have some horn hats made. Some horn Donald hats. Making America disgraced again. Maybe a picture of a guard tower sort of embroidered next to it. No, hell, most of the Trump people would think that was a damned oil derrick. Never mind. And, I mean, can we say this? I think we could say this. T. Rump is rich because he was born rich. He's one of those people that was born on third thinking he hit a triple. He's rich because he was born rich. But he's a jackass all by himself. He's a self-made douchebag. Douche canoe, douche ark, douche freighter. And nobody can take that away from him. Mm-mm, no way, no how, uh-uh. So that's where we find ourselves with the filibuster this evening. Mm-hmm. And we'll take it even further. This is a really uncomfortable. Yeah, I just don't like this. I don't. I'm getting really, really skeert about
where our country, and I guess in one sense you could say, yeah, well, you know, it's always been in us, that's why this is bubbling to the surface. But somehow or another, we managed to keep it tamped down a little bit, kinda, sorta, some. But that's all over now, isn't it? Ain't no more tamping going on. No, hell no. Now, you know, we've got, like I said, we got phone lines. 304-574-8178. Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn. The stress line is 304-663-4676. That's 304-663-HORN. 304-663-4676. And you can jump in any way you want to. Well, so far, I got a note here about the feathers, the lovely painted feathers. Jan writes in and says, I'm contributing to get in on the feather draw. Fingers crossed, I'd love to have one. Well, so far, you're the only one in the drawing, Jan, so your odds are looking pretty daggum good. And remember, all contributions go into the hat. So let's, now let me see, a couple other emails rolling in. Steve in New York says, start wearing red crescents to let people know what it would look like to be marked. That's an interesting idea. Make it impossible for him to tell who's who. Steve also noted that the lady in the sound clip, she said, well, I'd have to think about it, but I'm still supporting Trump. Steve notes, she thinks she's sounding smart by thinking about it. Right. Jack in Shreveport simply wants to know, has that dumbass said homeland yet? I don't know. Do I have to stick my foot in a bucket and sing if he does? Yeah. So, again, that's where we find ourselves with the filibobster this Titanic Tuesday evening. Jump in on the conversation if you want. Break time coming up. And we've also got, this here being Tuesday, we've got the Green News Report with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. I always look forward to that because it's always fun. This is listener-supported conversation radio. We're trying to raise $290 this evening, and we got $270 to go. Thanks, Jan and Jerry. Thank you very, very kindly. We'll be back. I'm Bob.
Your hat. Oh, the time she's smiling, never once raises her voice. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, you don't give it a second thought. It's a thin line between love and hate. 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 It's a thin line.
Yes, it is between love and hate. Sweetest woman in the world could be the meanest woman in the world if you make her that way. You keep her up, she'll keep me in quiet. In a state of shock, just that much from being dead. You couldn't believe a girl would do something like this. You didn't think a girl had the nerve. But here you are. I guess actions speak louder than words. It's a thin line between love and hate. It's a thin line.
It's Tuesday, December 8, 2015.
This is the time. This is the moment.
Crunch time in Paris as United Nations climate talks seek global agreement.
Might that not scare people who
Absolutely.
Think
they're... Absolutely.
Bernie Sanders proposes a national carbon tax. Goldman Sachs predicts exponential growth in renewable energy. Plus, good news.
Finally.
Global emissions decline in 2015, and not because of global economic recession.
All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Thank you, Trevor. As you know, we're all going to die.
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, crunch time indeed in Paris. Will they be able to walk away with an agreement or not? Will the agreement be enough of an agreement to, you know, just save the world?
Well, that's a lot to ask for one agreement, but there does seem to be a lot of optimism right now in Paris in the final week of the United Nations climate talks, where high-level government officials from the nations of the world are negotiating a comprehensive international agreement to cut greenhouse gas emissions that cause dangerous global warming. Deep conflicts remain over how much money rich countries will give to developing and poor countries to prepare for climate impacts and to help them develop clean energy resources. Secretary of State John Kerry, speaking in Paris with U.S. media outlet Mashable, said he believes that reaching an agreement will unleash clean energy investment.
Setting the targets is a huge signal to the marketplace. And then the marketplace will begin, I think, to move into gear. And I'm quite confident that we're going to see a massive transformation in technology over the course of the next 5 years.
And in fact, even before any climate agreement has even been completed, investment bank Goldman Sachs has issued a major new report stating that they believe the global transition to a low-carbon economy is already well underway and projected, quote, exponential growth in the solar and wind industries over the next 5 years.
Uh-oh. Well, if Goldman Sachs is saying that, now I'm dubious.
Meanwhile, in U.S. presidential politics, independent senator from Vermont and Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders has released an ambitious new energy policy calling for massive investments in clean energy sources and instituting an economy-wide carbon tax on emissions. When CBS Face the Nation host John Dickerson asked if the idea of a carbon tax would scare people, Sanders said the impacts of climate change are much scarier.
We have a moral obligation to move aggressively to transform our energy system away from fossil fuel to energy efficiency and sustainable energy, and that is what my legislation does. So right. You want to talk about being frightened? I am frightened about the planet we're going to leave our kids if we don't act.
So the idea, and at least Bernie Sanders is saying it, is that you need to put a price on carbon. Somebody has to pay for all of this pollution that is now happening. And frankly, I'm convinced that the only real way to reduce those emissions is to make it so that it costs someone, so they have no choice but to lower the emissions to save money. It's a free market idea, frankly.
Yes, it's the idea that polluters pay rather than taxpayers for the pollution that they produce.
And right now, it's the taxpayers who are paying.
Right. Among other things, Sanders' plan would repeal billions in annual taxpayer subsidies to the fossil fuel industry. It would ban Arctic oil drilling, ban offshore oil drilling, ban fracking for natural gas, and stop exports of liquefied natural gas and crude oil.
That's a lot of banning, but is banning necessary if we institute the carbon tax? In other words, maybe they'll just stop on their own because it costs too much to produce.
I think the idea behind the bans is to keep it in the ground. Otherwise, those who can afford it will pay for it to be extracted.
So even with a carbon tax, some people will say, hey, no problem, I'll pay for it.
Right. Finally, some good news. Global greenhouse gas emissions rose only slightly last year in 2014 and appear to have declined in 2015. That's according to scientists publishing Monday in the journal Nature Climate Change. They say that if the trend holds and is confirmed, it would mark the first ever decline in carbon emissions in a year when the world economy was not in recession. The researchers say the new numbers may be evidence of changing behavior as more countries invest in renewable energy, such as solar and wind power.
Some uncommonly good news from you, Desi Doyen. And for much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Download our reports anytime via iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
This is the time. This is the moment.
Spread it across the country.
Here we go back. This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us. Here we go back. This is the moment. Tonight is the night.
Okay, this is just one of those little lyric things, but can I point out that I've never expected a ceiling to hold me? And this goes back to the, and this is like that happy song, you know, you're happy like you live in a house without a roof. No, that's not happy. That's, but in this case, you know, we'll hold, put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. But isn't it more like the ceiling is collapsing? Well, but then again, that doesn't rhyme, does it? Oh, I guess I'm just a curmudgeon. It's 18 minutes past the hour. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. And, well, there's let's check in on a couple of comments along the way. Brother Deacon Asa says, one of these days, Bob, I'll fall off these stilts following an episode of hysterical laughter and become permanently disabled or even kill myself as a result of one of your observations or an asshat sound clip that you play on the air. Dadgummit, this is bordering on self-mutilation. I should stop. Stilts? Stilts? Brother Deacon Asa, stilts. I know that sea level rise is real and it's a concern, but Jesus, I didn't know you guys were walking around Vancouver Island in stilts. On stilts, in stilts. Maybe you're holding up the ceiling. Who knows? And a note from
from Ron in the disturbingly temperate North. He says, I really do try to understand Trump and Cruz and Huckabee and Fox News, but honest to God, I feel like a dog staring at and trying to understand a ceiling fan. What again with the ceilings? How do these themes just sort of emerge from the milieu here? I don't know. But I understand your point. Ron continues, you may remember what I first said 6 months ago. Trump's real role is to get the Republicans to circle their wagons and fire inward in order to get through the primary process, setting them up, hopefully, for a major thrumping, in the only real vote that counts, the one on the first Tuesday in November. And I get that. I understand that that's a perceived strategy. But what if it all goes horribly, horribly, horribly wrong, Ron? What if having unleashed the monster, people, instead of marching with pitchforks and torches on the good doctor's castle, say, well, come on in here. Yeah, well, you just seem like a fine little monster to us. Yes, my goodness gracious. I mean, I understand what you're saying about the Muslims, Mr. Monster. I mean, because they're too hard to vent. Right, yes. And I'm just going to have to ship them all back. Just ship them all back.
Meanwhile, up yonder in Australia, because, you know, up and down are kind of foolish, silly terms in the grand scheme of space. The universe may be, never mind. But anyway, up yonder in Australia, Robert writes in and says, a short summary of a video I just watched. How do you deport 11.2 million people? You'd need the U.S. Army to locate and detain the equivalent of the entire populations of New York City, San Francisco, Boston, Seattle, and Detroit. You'd have to put them in holding camps and then put them on trains, buses, boats, and planes to ship them all back, assuming that you then figure out back where, right? Estimated cost of the operation, $500 billion. After watching the video, Robert says, these thoughts occurred to me. One, how many members of the U.S. Army not deployed overseas are illegals doing their time to obtain citizenship? Illegals are in quotes. Do they get deported first? Two, how does the U.S. Army deal with rounding up 11.2 million people who don't want to leave the country, considering the USA is as heavily armed as it is? You NRA goons, you thought it was just the white peoples. You found out a little different recently, didn't you? Yes, you did, Sparky. Not you, Sparky. And third, will the deportees be deprived of everything they own, everything they have worked for, including their bank accounts, and left with nothing to start again somewhere else? And four, how will other countries react to the U.S. dumping 11.2 million people on them?
Yeah, I know. And see, that's where you run into trouble, and that's how your average fascist gets to the, you know what, I think you may be right. Can we build some camps? Right, and maybe some shires. Yeah, it's been done. How'd that work? Oh, by them. Sorry. Well, you know, got no tattoo. But this is all entirely too deep a level of thinking. For your average Republican, your average Trump supporter, your average NRA member, your average birther, bagger, deather, ninther, tenther, booger eater. They just want to ship them all back. Well, Cletus, but are you volunteering for some of that? Well, hell no. I got a job. Some millionaire done job created me a job. I spend every day putting spark plugs in down to the BMW plant here in South Carolina. I ain't going nowhere. I got me a job. Yeah, but what about that other guy down there? He looks a little dark. Well, I mean, he works real hard and everything. I don't see why he didn't. No, you said ship them all back, Cletus. And there are, in Robert's observations, there are some lovely little morsels for thought.
Because, see, that will the deportees be deprived of everything they own, everything they've worked for, including their bank accounts, and left with nothing to start again somewhere else? Under the Constitution of the United States, Robert, that would be impossible. It would be impossible under the Takings Clause. It would be an unjust taking of property without due process of law. But then again, maybe T. Rump or any given Republican could just declare that due process is the process I decide you're due. Mm-hmm. Which goes to a different spot here, and I'm not trying to be inflammatory or anything like that. I just want us to think about these things. Among other things, I sit and I listen to Dr. Bill O'Brien Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, and therefore I get a different perspective that a lot of people don't get. If you're not signed up for the feed for the Dr. Bill O'Brien Virtual Center for the Study of the Constitution and Civic Responsibility. But here's the way everything this is how it could possibly dovetail. Okay? Remember that a whole bunch of right-wingers want to have themselves, because in order to placate some weirdos back when they were ratifying the Constitution, they put in a clause about how to have another constitutional convention in case it became necessary to do so. But in the Federalist Papers, everybody pretty much agrees that, oh my God, we don't ever want to do this again, because they got away with something. They really did. They got away with something. They went in to tweak the Articles of Confederation, promptly folded them into paper airplanes, zipped them right out of the window, and started building a new government from scratch that would be harmonious with the money. Mm-hmm. Democracy was breaking out all over the place, and it was just really, really scaring the money to pieces. But anyway, so they said, all right, and then we'll put in another one where maybe the several states can get together and call one. Two-thirds of the states. If two-thirds of the states call for a constitutional convention, well, by golly, we'll have one. Now, they, of course, never imagined there would be 50 states. And they knew that the states that they did have were so fractious and at each other's throats that the idea of them all agreeing to call a constitutional convention was something approaching never. Well, that's not the case anymore. And there is a real movement afoot, largely among right-wingers, who want to have a limited constitutional convention. We promise you it's going to be limited. Once we go in there, we're just going to stay for a certain amount of time. We're not going to be there for more than 2 days. And we're only going to pass a balanced budget amendment. We promise. Except once you open a constitutional convention, everything's on the table and all bets are off, including promises made under said constitution. Huh? Right? See? Yeah. And what continues to absolutely devil me is that people who should know better, and I don't mean to call anybody out on this, but you kind of have to. Cenk Uygur, what in the wide, wide world of sports are you thinking getting behind this idea? Oh, we're going to go into the Constitutional Convention called by the several states, and we're going to pass an amendment to get money out of politics and get rid of Citizens United. Yay, us. Oh, and you just put, and that's me putting my little index finger in my cheek and smiling like Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm, because everybody at the Constitutional Convention is going to be bringing their guitars and their tambourines and their kazoos, and we're all going to sing a big round of Kumbaya before we get bullshit, he said the Robin, and he turned and walked away. Yeah. because it will be hell among the yearlings the minute that that thing gets gaveled to order in the great big oil corporation of America arena, brought to you by the Koch brothers. We bring good fascist things to life. Yeah. So you know, goodbye, EBT. Goodbye, government. Goodbye. Goodbye, 14th Amendment. Goodbye, woman's right to choose.
Oh, but we're gonna get the Citizens United out of the government because we're special and we want a pony. Can we have a pony? A unicorn pony that farts sparkly dust. Yay.
And this is not to say I don't like Cenk. It's not. But good God in heaven, how do you get behind such a lunatic notion? The states that call the Constitutional Convention are all going to get to send delegates. And guess what? If you get to the two-thirds majority you need to call the convention, then the people calling the convention are going to call the shots and call the tunes and call the dogs. And call me Cornpone. That's how it works. And even if New York and California march into that constitutional convention and say, by daggies, we demand that we get rid of the dirty, filthy money, all those stand states are going to say, sit down and shut up or we'll slit your fucking throat. Because at that point in time, there won't be any constitutional niceties to stop them from doing it. Do we understand now? Ron in the temperate north also noted earlier, I'm willing to support sponsorship for immigration to Canada in exchange for greatly increased contributions to the Horn. And it's becoming more and more and more tempting. This place is terrifying the living bejesus out of me. Let's check in just for the hell and all of it with the little set to that they had at the Morning Joe program this morning with T-Rump, shall we?
Start out here by saying I'm not blind to the emotions that you're tapping into, but I also think there's a number of Americans that you're really scaring right now, including me. I'm worried this is rhetoric that is fueling hatred and alienation and possibly something worse.
Yeah, me and Miko, we're scared. And maybe you and several. But, I mean, nobody's... But see, that's the thing. Why should we be? Because, I mean, T-Rump's not coming for us. I mean, an old white-haired man with blue eyes and very clearly Scots-Irish heritage. I'm in no threat of declaring there is no God but God and Muhammad is his prophet. Oh, shit, I'm a Muslim now. Damn it. Now I'm scared.
Well, I think you should be more scared by what's going on. And, you know, this morning we learned that $28,000 was poured into this, you know, guy's account, this horrible person that did the shooting, along with his wife, his radicalized wife. And I think you should be more scared about that by far than anything that I'm saying. I'm using common sense. I spoke in front of thousands of people last night. There were thousands of people, your reporters are reporting it, thousands of people outside of this, the Yorktown, this tremendous ship that couldn't hold all the...
This tremendous ship. Dumbass doesn't even know what kind of ship it is. Yeah, there's another slightly less awesome tremendous ship next to it. Yeah, it's smaller than the other tremendous ship. I don't know why. And there's a bunch of tremendous airplanes there. Maybe we could fly the Muslims away in those airplanes.
People, I mean, it holds, you know, it's the biggest crowd they've ever had on the Yorktown, and thousands of people couldn't get in. They gave a standing ovation as soon as they heard it. The first sentence they gave a standing ovation, they wouldn't stop. And what it is common sense. Now, remember this, until our country's representatives can figure out what is going on, Mika, because we don't know what's going on. You had the World Trade Center one. Remember this, you had the World Trade Center knocked.
I mean, this is like just total dickhead stream of consciousness. I don't know. Maybe has he got some sort of tube that just blows air past his larynx so that he can talk without breathing? Because just listen to this go on and on. I mean, I got 33 minutes of this. I won't do that to you. Unless you want me to. I won't do that to you. But he never shuts up. He never stops. I mean, I talk for 180 minutes a night, but I take pauses. I get email. Hey, Bob, why are your pauses so long? See, there's one now. But not this guy. And it gets even funner.
Down, Mika. People are forgetting. They tried to knock it down a number of years before that. Should have taken out Bin Laden, but these are, and I did mention in my book, and Joe was nice enough to say, wow, Trump actually talked about Bin Laden before the World Trade. I said, take him out before the World Trade Center came down. I think that's right. I think Joe will confirm that. Nobody else said that.
Donald?
Yes.
I mean, almost every high-ranking member of the Republican Party and candidates, they're all condemning your plan. And
no, they aren't, Mika, darling. Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, isn't condemning it. He just says, not my plan. So not everybody, okay? I mean, is the little producer in your ear just not telling you?
Your comments. Do you
see
what's happening?
Well, they've been condemning practically everything I say, and then they always come to my side. They were condemning the wall. They were condemning illegal immigration. They were condemning all of the things that I've been espousing, and now most of them are on my side. And the ones that aren't on my side are down to about zero in the polls, and they're not going to go anywhere. I see the couple of people last night, they come out. But, you know, many of the people, and not everybody has condemned, if you really look. I don't want to get into names, but not everybody has condemned, if you want to be specific about it. There are a number that didn't condemn. But if you look at illegal immigration and the wall and the, you know, strengthened borders and the kind of things that we have to do for safety of our country, everybody was against me. I took heat like nobody did. Made this look like baby stuff the first 2 weeks when I announced that I was running for president. And now everybody's fighting to be tougher than me on immigration.
I understand you're not afraid of controversy, but what about the Muslim community?
This has nothing to do with controversy.
When I announced
illegal immigration, I took more heat than I'm taking right now.
I understand that.
Everybody now agrees with me in one form or another.
Let me ask you this. Okay. Do you believe that we need members of the Muslim American community, of the Muslim community around the world, to help fight the war on terror? And perhaps that this is incredibly counterproductive.
No, I think it's something that has to be done. I think it's a temporary move.
Okay, so I've gotten the point across. You're screaming, you're tearing at your hair, you're running into the yard, you're probably not entirely properly clothed. There's a rabbit out there, you're chasing the rabbit. The rabbit is huge, it's a great rabbit. You're going to chase the rabbit out into the backyard. You may go across onto the neighbor's property line, but it's a rabbit, and rabbits have to be chased, and you're chasing the rabbit, and you're tearing at your hair, and you're screaming. And screaming's great, because screaming makes America great again. We're great when we scream. I'm trying. So I thought, I mean, there's some great stream of consciousness literature out there. And for the literary among us, and there are many, there would probably be a debate. You know, I'm a purist. I'm old school. So I went naturally to James Joyce's Ulysses. You, on the other hand, might want to go to Thomas Pynchon's Gravity's Rainbow, or the folks born down like me behind the cornpone curtain might run over to, say, Mr. William Faulkner and The Sound and the Fury, and they were hitting, and then they were hitting, and they hit some more. But no, I got Stately plump Buck Mulligan came from the stairhead bearing a bowl of lather on which a mirror and a razor lay crossed. A yellow dressing gown ungirdled was sustained gently behind him on the mild morning air. He held the bowl aloft and intoned Introibo ad altare Dei. Halted, he peered down the dark winding stairs and called out coarsely, "Come up, Kinch! Come up, you fearful Jesuit!" Solemnly he came forward and mounted the round gunrest. He faced about and blessed gravely thrice the tower, the surrounding land, and the awaking mountains. Then, catching sight of Stephen Dedalus, he bent towards him and made rapid crosses in the air, gurgling in his throat and shaking his head. Stephen Dedalus, displeased and sleepy, leaned on his arms on the top of the staircase and looked coldly at the shaking, gurgling face that blessed him equine in its length, and at the light, untonsured hair, grained and hued like pale oak. Buck Mulligan peeped an instant under the mirror and then covered the bowl smartly. "Back to barracks," he said sternly. He added in a preacher's tone, "For this, O dearly beloved, is the genuine Christine, body and soul and blood and oons. Slow music, please. Shut your eyes, gents. One moment. A little trouble about those white corpuscles. Silence, all." He peered sideways up and gave a long, slow whistle of call, then paused a while in rapt attention, his even white teeth glistening here and there with gold points. "Chrysostomos." Two strong, shrill whistles answered through the calm. And that is deemed by many many young students of English literature, English the language, not English the country, to be one of the hardest pieces of artful fiction to comprehend ever penned. And again, for those who think not, then you are more than welcome to drop a couple of hits of blotter acid and go open Gravity's Rainbow and have at it. There's a tradition in American letters of just writing stuff that's hard to get your head around. Some of it more deliberate than others. For instance, sure, why not? How about this? And most of you will recognize it. "'Twas Brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogroves, and the mome raths outgrabe. Beware the jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the jubjub bird, and shun the frumious bandersnatch." He took his vorpal sword in hand. Long time the manxome foe he sought. So rested he by the tum-tum tree, and stood a while in thought. And as in uffish thought he stood, the jabberwock with eyes of flame came whiffling through the tulgey wood, and burbled muslimly as it came. No, I added the muslim part. One, two, and through the vorpal blade went snicker-snack. He left it dead, and with its head he went galumphing back. That is more goddamn comprehensible than any word you have thus far heard Donald Trump utter. He's just in pure, straight-up stream-of-consciousness mode. And every last bit of it is certifiably insane. You're far better off with Faulkner. You're better off with James Joyce or Thomas Pynchon. You're better off with Lewis Carroll. You can actually glean some meaning out of Jabberwocky, but all you can get out of T-Rump is this amalgam of wild-eyed, hysterical, hate-filled yearning.
"I'm not looking at this long-term. I'm looking at a temporary. We have to get our hands around a very serious problem. Look at what happened in Paris, the horrible carnage. And frankly, Mika, if you look at Paris, and I hate to do this because the Commerce Department of Paris, the Chamber of Commerce is going to go crazy, but..."
Now, I'm not just playing this to annoy you. He's going to say something here, and what you're going to hear is no one call him out on it. It's, you know, it's what is the sound of one hand clapping, right? The silence between the notes is the music too. Only in this case, the silence between the notes is a sort of musical hellscape. Listen.
"Paris Paris is no longer the same city it was. They have sections in Paris that are radicalized, where the police refuse to go there. They're petrified. The police refuse to go in there. We have places in London and other places that are so radicalized that the police are afraid for their own lives. We have to be very smart and very vigilant. We have to find out who gave this guy $28,000, put it in his account. How many other $28,000 checks?
Time out. Back up. Back way the hell up. What was that again about the places in Paris where the police won't go? Didn't we deal with this back during the Charlie Hebdo attacks? And there were assertions made, yeah, you know, there's places in England that are so Muslimy, the bobbies won't go there anymore. And the mayors of the respective towns said, I beg your pardon. And the French mayor said, sacre bleu. Quel idiot. And he just gets away with it. Because why? Because great for ratings? Because people sit there and watch a television program with this going on the same way that they sat and they watched the Twin Towers as they smoked on September 11th, 2001, just waiting for the other shoe to drop? Waiting to see if somebody will dare interrupt this fool and call him once and for all the godforsaken liar that he is? Yeah, that's what they were called. That's what they were called. No-go zones. And we spent an inordinate amount of time all over progressive media deconstructing the no-go zones. Le zone n'allait pas. Right? Yeah, because my French sucks, but that's as close as I can get. No-go's, and you know what? They got them in England, and they got them in France, and they got them in Poughkeepsie. Yeah, your Poughkeepsie Police Department there, they just won't go to some of these places. I mean, I know, because Poughkeepsie's a great town, and I got great people there, and you know, I asked them in Poughkeepsie, and they said, oh, Donald, you know, we won't go. It's a no-go zone. And he gets away with it. And it goes on. This goes on for 33 minutes. And it's just like the Muslims that he saw celebrating 9/11 that weren't. Once again, there were about 5 individuals. We know their names because they were eventually caught up with. There were about 5 individuals standing on the Jersey side who were as the buildings were burning, but they weren't Muslims. They were hardcore Israeli Jews, probably members of the Mossad. And I'm not some slur that I'm repeating. That much is verifiable. Like I said, we know their names. But who's called that out in the for-profit media? And while we're at it, okay, so here on this program, we do conversation radio. And I'm proud of the format that we have invented here. Because it means that there's going to be some genuine exchange of information and not just a mega dittos from Busted Knuckle Rush. I love you. That's enough about you. Let's talk about me and a little bit of something about the General Steel buildings. You know, we broadcast from a General Steel building. You can call them at General Steel. Huh? Right? We actually have meaningful exchanges of information. There is no exchange of information taking place here. This is just this stream of consciousness. There is little, if anything, related to fact except for the fact that maybe this guy really is Donald Trump. That's about it. And see, here in here on the horn and in conversation radio, here's how it works. We have a conversation. I talk to you, you talk to me, we talk amongst ourselves. We even managed to do this in a large format, a large-scale format on Fridays. We got we can have 10, 15, 20 people all sharing their ideas, and yet somehow or another we managed to pretty much keep it in check, and we talk one at a time, and we exchange ideas, and it's pretty inspiring. But if it should happen that somebody decides to go sideways and just monopolize and loses their mind and starts talking, I have many, many, many little fader slides in front of me, one of which is attached to one phone line and the other is attached to the other phone line, and both of them have buttons on them, okay? I can have them all the way up and talking, and I just boop, and I hit the mute button, and they're not making any noise anymore. And that's not me being rude. That's just me insisting on your behalf on a certain standard of common communications decency. Right? And so, consequently, I can't help wondering, but I guess you just can't do that to the Donald. Oh, granted, if we go through this clip long enough, you'll catch Joe trying to do it. But he doesn't do it right, because Joe is not a broadcaster. Joe is a washed-up, has-been, right-wing, neocon piece of crap. Surrounded by others along the similar... Right. And he doesn't know how to do it. Because what you do is, you know, talky, mute. And you say, listen, okay, I want you to understand, even though you're still talking, you're muted now. You're not going out over the air. If you can maintain a civil conversation, you can continue to talk. But it will be a conversation, not a monologue. Okay? And if you unmute it and they're still talking, you go, okay, goodbye. But the for-profit media does not dare hang up on Donald Trump. Oh, and by the way, how is it that he gets away with doing all of this by telephone? These are major broadcast network operations. This is not some little radio phone-in hanging on by a fingernail, constantly behind in the bills. No, they got people they can send to him. They can send a limo for him if they want to bring him into the studio, but no, he won't. Instead, he thinks he's freaking Charlie from Charlie's Angels, and he's always just a voice on a goddamn speakerphone. Because if he was in person, it would be dramatically different. And inside our conversations here, you know, if one of us is getting it wrong or we disagree, we've learned to disagree without being disagreeable, and we've learned to very politely call bullshit on one another. Nobody gets away with any silly horse shit here. But that, on the other hand, is T-Rump's stock in trade. And it's not just here. He called into CNN. He calls into everywhere. And nobody dares tell him that is unacceptable. Because then he'll never come on again. And then people won't ship clips of him filibustering around the internet. And that's terrible for marketing and cross-media platform applications. You see? Yeah. All right, let's run over to the Skype line, line one. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you this evening?
I'm pretty good. Is this Heather?
Yes, it is.
How in the world are you?
I'm good.
Okay.
I
speechless.
It has that effect. And maybe that's what it does to the interviewers, too. I don't know.
He's an idiot.
No, he's not an idiot. He's a fascist. Okay? Let's be very careful about that, Heather.
Okay. I just can't believe a lot of what he's said.
Well, wait. Why can't you? Why can't you believe that a fascist says fascist things?
I didn't think there were any fascists in this country, but...
Oh!
I'm wrong!
Oh, no. And wake up and smell the strudel.
Oh, definitely. I never thought there were, but I'm wrong. And it's sad. And that's just putting it mildly. I just cannot believe that somebody like this is the front runner of one of the American political parties.
But this isn't new, Heather. I mean, I'm not gooning on you or anything. This isn't new. In 1968 and again in 1972, George Wallace was going around the country saying, "We're going to send a message to Washington." And you know what? He was drawing crowds of thousands in Michigan and Wisconsin and Ohio and Maryland. You know, this dumbass, hateful cracker that stood in a school, in a university doorway to try to stop people of color from being able to receive an equal education in the state of Alabama. And people were flocking to him all over this country. Wherever George Wallace went, he drew humongous crowds. And that was 1968 and 1972.
I'm not impressed. No offense to this country's history, but...
Well, I'm not impressed either. I'm terrified.
Oh, I'm sure
you're not. But the thing is, fascism is an undercurrent that has always ridden just below the surface of this country. You know, it was an inherently fascist notion to create the so-called Southern Strategy, which is what carried Nixon into office in 1968 and got him reelected in 1972. There's a reason that Ronald Reagan kicks off his presidential campaign in Neshoba County, Mississippi, the same county where three civil rights activists were buried, maybe alive, in an earthen dam. Mm. And so when other people tell me, Heather, that, you know, this couldn't, I mean, you know, Trump can't possibly win the election. I mean, he couldn't possibly be the nominee. I mean, if he's a nominee, I mean, he's just going to get stomped by Hillary. Bet me.
Nothing surprises me. Nothing anymore.
No.
I don't see what.
And you're up in Michigan, and you got them all. You may not realize it, but you got them all around you.
Oh yeah. And it's very sad. It's very sad, especially in the county I'm in the city that I'm in. I won't even read our local paper because they're that right wing. And I just found a headline on, I think it was either Michigan Radio itself or my own local radio, WSJM, saying that my state senator was supposedly the third most conservative state senator that my state has.
I feel your pain. I feel your pain, okay? I've got a member, and I played the clips of him a couple of weeks ago. My, no kidding, the guy who represents me in the West Virginia House of Delegates says that Barack Obama is a secret Kenyan Muslim usurper, and he knows it because he's seen Barack Obama giving secret Kenyan Muslim usurper hand jive signs. He has said that. He said that. You know, no, it's not like somebody had a microphone and they just caught him saying it at somebody's clavern meeting or something. He went on a television program, a public affairs television program, and said that out in front of people and was proud to have people say it. And we got people around here who are going, well, hell yeah, everybody knows that. That's why he's got a war on coal.
And Fox News is no help.
No, Fox News is no help. Fox News is part of the problem. Fox News helped create this monster.
But it just, it frustrates me something terribly. It really does. I'm voting, I'll just say that much.
And you got to, because there's going to be a whole lot of Americans who aren't going to be voting because they're going to be prevented from voting.
And then in my own state, there is a bill saying that you can't vote straight tickets. So,
well, that's only going to affect Republicans anyway. Because they're the straight ticket voters. Democrats don't vote straight tickets. Democrats go picking and choosing down there. You know that. I saw him at church one day, and he might be a Republican, but he seems like an awful nice feller. I think I'll vote for that Republican. We do that shit. Come on. And then you get the. The really squishy green people who are like, well, you know, there are some good Republicans out there. That Rand Paul, he has some lovely ideas.
I only agreed with one thing he said.
Which, Rand Paul or T-Rump?
Huh?
Who? Which Paul. One? Oh, Paul, okay.
Rand Paul. When he said that his party created ISIS.
Well, that's true, and well, that's like
that,
you know.
Was,
I
agree. For me, I was okay with that, and I will still agree with that. But there's been some other shit that he said I've not liked. But you know, we won't even go there.
Oh no, there's wheelbarrow loads of it. I mean, even a stop clock is right twice a day. I caught myself one day agreeing with Piyush Jindal. When he said the GOP has to stop being the party of stupid people, I at least agreed that it's the party of stupid people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I believe yesterday somebody, I think it was Josh Ernst, or Josh someone, from the White House, who flat out said when Trump said that he wanted to ban all Muslims from coming in, that should disqualify him from the presidential race.
But we don't have any laws that say that. That's based, Heather, upon mutually agreed standards of common decency and conduct. And it only bans one from participation if people become unwilling to vote for you as a result of it.
Oh, well, he's definitely somebody I'm unwilling to... Well, Trump is definitely somebody I'm unwilling to vote for.
Yeah, so. But that's you. I'm not afraid of Heather. I'm afraid of the guy who says, you know, it's just too hard to vent them Muslims. And some bitch is going to get to vote. They're going to let him vote in the primary, and then they're going to let him vote in the general election. And it's clear that he doesn't have enough. He doesn't have the intellectual capacity of a jar of pickled prunes.
That's very true. I had told somebody online earlier today. He took a survey, and he was saying something to the fact of, should we prevent all Muslims from coming into the country? Well, the majority of people were saying, no, you shouldn't. And I guess what happened was he was blocking the people who were saying that no, he shouldn't, or, you know, saying no. And another person that I know was asking something else. So I went ahead and answered their question. But anyhow, I found out that this man, that he was getting all these no's. So what he did was, when people would say no, he blocked them. And then he deleted the post. And then he put up the post again. And he got more people that are on his side of the aisle to answer it. But, you know, that's beside the point. But,
I know.
So goes America.
Straight to hell. Straight to hell, Heather.
You're right. Well, anyway, I just figured I'd call and say hi and have a great night.
Well, I appreciate it. You have a great night as well, Heather. It's always a joy hearing from you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now. From up in Michigan, and by the way, up in Michigan is the title of a Hemingway short story. That's our friend Heather. Thanks, Heather. That line is open again, 304-574-8178. Let me see. Yeah, I think I saw our buddy Todd trying to ring in a minute ago. Line's open now, Todd, if you want to get through. Of course, we've got another phone line, 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676, and it works too. Marty sent me a quote a minute ago. He said, I liked this particular tweet. Check it out. You can see how one terrorist shooting can radicalize Americans like Trump, but you can't see how 10,000-plus U.S. bombs might radicalize Muslims. And that's it. In a nutshell, right there, on the money, that's it. We talk, we fetishize our own anguish. And it's not like this is something we just started doing. I mean, I go back to William Westmoreland in Vietnam. Well, you know, these people don't place the same value on human life that we do. And we have not yet had a public conversation, a public come to Jesus, if you will, about 1 million civilian deaths in Iraq directly as the result of a petty, ignorant little man saying, Saddam tried to kill my daddy. I'm going to get him. Fuck him. We're going to take him out. No, we still haven't had that. And may never. We may never have that conversation. Oh, sure, we'll have it on the progressive side, but we're a bubble. We're not going to have that on it. We're not going to have a national reckoning. Just like we're not going to have a national reckoning over the fact that gun people get to put guns ahead of the lives of 6-year-olds. Sorry, no, because the gun people, shut up. Hey, I got company out here on the ledge. Come on out, Carol.
Interesting how I knew the way.
It's the cigarette butts, I think.
Yours and mine.
Smoke them if you got them.
I am, thank you very much. Keeps me from drinking.
Well, I can't say it works that well for me.
Well, you know, the plea agreement.
Yeah, witness protection and everything, right.
That too. You know, it just... The GOP talking heads that are coming across on the airwaves, from Paul Ryan to Lindsey Graham to all the rest, they're acting like they're so stunned that after 50 years of feeding red meat of racism to Republican voters that they've actually developed a taste for it.
Score. You get tonight's toaster. That's it. Right there.
I mean, my little brain has just been working all day long on this, and it just, you know, I shared some fun Muslim facts on social media this morning that I think surprised some people.
See?
Muslims make up less than 1% of the entire United States population. They're better educated than most Americans. Shocker. American Muslims have more gender equality than American-Americans. Muslims have lived in the United States since this country was founded. And this is my favorite one. Muslims are no more religious than their Christian counterparts. So, since
now, is that Muslims here or Muslims everywhere?
Muslims everywhere are no more religious than their Christian counterparts.
You mean that there's a lot of Muslims out there who are like the Christians who show up in church on Christmas and Easter and figure they've pretty much taken care of their obligations for the time being?
Except it's not Christmas and Easter, but yeah.
I got that part, but yeah. So, I mean, they do that. Yeah, Allah's great. Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Backsliders. Yeah. They got backsliders all over the Middle East.
And throughout the world. I mean, there's backsliders in the Balkans. Balkan backsliders. By God, if that doesn't sound like the name of a punk band, I don't know what does.
Wow. Absolutely. It makes me wonder if there's hair on the back of the Balkan backslider.
But we can't do that, Carol. We can't just see people. We have and some of that, I don't know, is it an American thing? Is it a broader human thing that we have to have names for those others?
I think that's a uniquely American thing. I really do.
I mean, it happens in little everyday things. For instance, it's not unusual around here to have somebody say, "Well, I was talking to this person, and you know, she was just the loveliest person. She was just this lovely black lady." And you wonder, why do I need to know that, you know? And that's all over the South. I mean, he was really smart, and he was black.
Yeah. A credit to his race. Nobody ever says that about white people.
Well, that's because there's not much for us to take credit for.
Fair enough.
Yeah, what about electricity? I know. But we're in love. We're in love with our differences. And yet it's always the right wingers, Carol, who put up the signs that say, "Quit saying you're a Muslim or a Negro or an Indian. You're an American. Act like it."
Funny, that's because Republicans are the party of inclusion. They accept all Christians regardless of their religion and all white people regardless of their race.
Oh, you're batting a million tonight.
Because I see them for what they are.
But okay, so since we're out here on the ledge, and lovely view, isn't it?
It is.
You can almost not hear the traffic honking down 100 floors down.
Yes, but that's where I get my best pictures of the sunsets.
So I've been making the argument, and if I need to be talked off the ledge on this, I'm open to it. I've been making the argument that because everybody seems to be saying, "Well, you know, I mean, this is the end of Trump," but they said that when he said that John McCain was a chicken shit.
I'm convinced there's nothing he can say that's over the top.
No,
nothing. He could stand on a podium and call Barack Obama the N-word, and it'd clinch the nomination for him.
And you're not being over the top on that.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm absolutely... The worse he becomes, the more idiotic he becomes, the more beloved he is by his red meat-eaten base.
And the more accessible he is to them, because the more he becomes just like them.
Well, state-run television runs him 24/7.
There you go.
And the looks of the faces of the people, when you actually get him in a studio, or even on the even when he does his call-in shtick, I pay very close attention to the looks on the faces of the people that are interviewing. They will ask him a question. How do you intend to do this? How do you, are you saying this is what you really mean? And he'll say it, and this total look. I started taking screenshots of the stupid looks on state-run television talking heads' faces when he's saying this stuff. And it's getting comical. Snuffleupagus was the best.
Or, I mean, because he showed up face-to-face with John Dickerson, didn't he? Over on Face the Notion or whatever.
John Dickerson.
Dicker Johnson? What? What did I do?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't watch the Sunday shows anymore because I can't take much more of Meet the Republicans.
I know. Every Sunday puts the plea agreement in profound jeopardy.
It really does. So I just have declared a moratorium for my own mental health.
But, this morning, and I've still got the clip in the queue here of Trump on Morning Joe where Joe begins to lecture. Now, Donald, if we get to ask questions, Donald. If you just keep talking like this, I'm going to break.
Going to break, yes. And I thought it was kind of a chicken shit way out myself because, I did radio for a long time, and I had a lot of really disgusting people on my program. I did. And I, because my co-host loved to have one person from each side, and then she was always the better angel because I would go, you know, I would call them out on their shit all the time. I think my favorite one was the day that the guy from the Heritage Foundation had the nerve to show up on my show and tried to lecture me on how the flat tax was just so fair, except I had some actual numbers for him and completely obliterated his. I made him admit that poor people would end up paying more and rich people would be paying less. And I said, okay, now stop me when I get to the fair part. And he just, he had to go. Before the end of the program, he had to go. So I enjoyed that. But
I remember telling a Fundy preacher I wanted to kiss him right on the mouth.
I have never turned a microphone off on a guest. Because I always believe that when you turn off their microphone, you're turning off your own. Because you're missing an opportunity to call them out on their horse shit. And there was only one time that I came so close. And that was because we had a regular panelist on from, he was a college professor from the University of the Carolinas who taught government. And he was a scary son of a bitch. I'd never let one of my kids take his classes. But he was so insulting to... I had a man who had been on death row for 18 years in Texas for a crime he didn't commit.
Naturally.
And was within, twice he was within 24 hours of being executed. When, of course, the Innocence Project came along and exonerated him. And he was so insulting to this man, essentially saying that he was just sorry that they didn't kill him quicker. And the interesting part about the man who had spent 18 years on death row was he came with so much grace about his experience. And then I've got this supposed learned man who is sitting there insulting him. And I had finally texted the producer and said, if he opens his mouth one more time, cut him off and throw his fat ass out of that studio. Because he would never call in. He had to go down to the studio and sit.
No, he was the opposite of Trump.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was one that always went down to the studio. But I was the only person who was far away. So I would Skype in my part of the show. And just like you, it sounds like I'm sitting next to you.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody ever knew. But I had texted Devin that morning and I said, throw his fat ass out of my studio if he says one more fucking word. And that was the first time Vicky finally, my co-host, finally stood up and told somebody that they had to leave.
Must have been a beautiful moment. I've had a few of those where I just mute the mic and because when somebody just starts trying to monopolize, I mean, when somebody goes Trump, I mean, we've got a word for it now, right? Going yeah. Trump.
Yeah.
And when they do that, you said when you cut their mic off, you cut yours off. Sometimes it's the only way to go forward. If you're having a dialogue, it's one thing. If somebody is just sitting there pontificating, it is entirely and awfully another.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, poor Joe doesn't know how to do it, Carol.
No, he doesn't.
And what he doesn't realize is if he said, get this bum off my air, and they hung up on him,
yeah.
One, it would go around the world at hyper speed.
And it reminded me.
And two,
that was the day of the night.
And two,
Lawrence O'Donnell had that. Who's that crazy bitch dentist with a funny name?
Orly Tates.
Yeah, Orly Tits or whatever her name is. Yeah. She came on his show, and he told her. He warned her flat out before he started that he was not going to tolerate her saying X, Y, and Z. And she immediately went into it, and he told her four or five times, knock it off. And finally he was like, cut her mic and drag her out of here. And he did it on live TV, and I was sitting there going, holy.
Well, the thing is, if Joe had done that to Trump, all those reasonable Republicans, Carol, they would have supported a Senate run for him in Florida.
Absolutely.
But he didn't, because he's afraid. And see, the funniest part of it all is if I go any further with the clip, and frankly, I'm getting emails begging me not to, is that he cuts him off, and they go to break, and he's, go to break, and his hands are, go to break. And so they do. And then they come back, and they pot him back up.
Yes.
And he's still talking.
Uh-huh.
He talked all the way through the break. Do you know how long a break is on Morning Joe? Do you know how much actual content there is in that program as compared to advertisement?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a couple of those breaks go 7 minutes, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And they come back, and he's still talking. Because
he had to take a breath.
Well, no, because he doesn't have to. There's no there there. It's just this constant stream. It's not stream of consciousness because there's no consciousness. It's like a stream of bigotry. It's a stream of hatred. It's a stream of stupid. And again, nobody out there in the for-profit media will say, man, this guy's an idiot. And if just one of these sons of bitches would do it, the whole thing would topple like a house of cards in a high wind, in a gentle breeze.
Yes, that's right. But not one of them has the cojones to do it.
Because money.
Money.
And they can't see any. Well, it's kind of like why there's no progressive broadcasting on the for-profit media. They can't imagine that there's a way for that to be financially not only viable, but financially successful.
MSNBC proved that.
Well, until they didn't.
Until they didn't.
I mean, so what? That Halperin and that other guy that are on the have a show on Bloomberg or whatever, and MSNBC is going to simulcast that because, boy, that's progressive.
Yeah. Wasn't Mark Halperin the one who called the president a dick?
Wasn't it? Yeah. So now they can't even decide whether he's which part of the genitalia he is.
Yeah, exactly. And it amazes me, like the guy who called the president a pussy and Stacey Dash, who, you know, talk about the goddess of irony, the star of Clueless, said the president didn't give a shit about our country. Yet they're both they both got spanked for 2 weeks and can't go back on the air.
Right. Oh, poor babies. But they can't go back on the air. But I wonder if their retainer checks are going to clear.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, we know we have it.
Roger Ailes is sending them bonus checks as we speak.
You see, yeah. We have at least one glutton for punishment in the Horn Family Commune congregation, Carol.
Who wants to hear it?
Asa says, I'm begging you to play the rest of the clip, please.
Oh, not the whole thing.
Oh, no, there's not enough time. That thing's 33 minutes long.
Exactly.
But I think we're close enough we can at least get to the part where Joe threatens to go to break.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay, that, and hang on here. It's going to be a shock to the system. Remember, we're going to hear that voice again.
...were made. Are there thousands all over the country? When you say you're afraid, I think you should be afraid. You should be afraid of the other side, not my side. I want to get our hands around a very difficult situation. All right.
And that's two references to getting the hands around, which, of course, because I guess I've got a filthy mind, Carol... Okay, but or else
trust me, it only takes a thumb and a forefinger.
Oh God, you know sometimes it's like we write these things out in advance, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Okay. So I think Joe's going to try to get in here.
Donald, hold on, Don. You got to let us ask questions. You can't just talk. No, you got to let us actually ask questions. You're just talking.
Donald, you're not going to keep talking.
Professional broadcasting, folks.
We will go to break if you keep talking. We're going to ask you questions.
All right, go to break, everybody.
Right now. We'll be right back with more morning. Ask you some questions. I want to just ask you a couple of questions. First of all, it seems to me that going after all Muslims, banning all Muslims from coming here is as counterproductive as, you know, those pictures when you see little 7-year-old kids being screened by the TSA. It seems to me, just in terms of policing, we should focus, we should target on the Muslims that we have a reason to believe need to have the most law enforcement focused on them. Isn't it counterproductive and unconstitutional to just have this broad approach towards all Muslims?
Well, it's not unconstitutional keeping people out, frankly, and until we get a hold of what's going on, Joe. And then if you look at Franklin Roosevelt, a respected president, highly respected, take a look at presidential proclamations back a long time ago, 2525, 2526, and 2527, what he was doing with Germans, Italians, and Japanese, because he had to do it. Because, look, we are at war with radical Islam. We are at war, Joe.
I agree with that, right. But you certainly aren't proposing internment camps. I am not proposing that,
and that's not what this is. You have to look at his presidential proclamations. It was tough stuff, but it wasn't internment. We're not talking about the Japanese internment camps. No, not at all. But we have to get our hand around a very serious problem, and it's
That's three hands around. Yeah.
Thumb and forefinger,
I'm sorry?
I said it's only a thumb and a forefinger, Donald.
Don't kid yourself. Irish Dave noting, Il Duce is really a huge dick. You got to get our hands around. But probably even more than anything else he said here. Oh, and the I love the follow up where somebody wrote the campaign spokes creep and said, does he really mean this? And he says, yeah. And the guy and the reporter writes back and says, why? And the spokes creep writes back and says, because death.
Okay.
Right. See, it did the same thing to you. I mean, what? Is he going to go out on tour with Blue Oyster Cult now? And Don't Fear the Reaper? And I mean,
it's the flaming, the scorching hypocrisy of all this. When that asshole shot up the Planned Parenthood, did Donald Trump denounce Christians and say he wanted to deport all the Christians and wanted to close down all the churches? And
screw Donald. Has anybody in the for-profit media and God knows the FBI or the government generally called that terrorism?
Well, no, and as a matter of fact, they're not even talking about it anymore because they got a better gig with the Donald.
Oh, and the persecution complex. Now she hadn't even talked to the FBI when the Hannity job, the life support system for a haircut over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, reached out to her. The Los Angeles Times has the story by Matt Hamilton and Haley Branson Potts. Jennifer Thalassinos was interviewed by Sean Hannity, who asked her, do you believe that maybe your husband was the person targeted by these two people? Now, 14 people are dead, Carol. Do you believe this person? And she, yes, I do. I also think some of the other people that were killed were also intended targets because of their religious views and because of the discussions that they had had with the shooter. I know my husband discussed religion and Israel with a lot of people, including Farouk. And then way down in the story, the FBI has not interviewed Thalassinos about her husband's relationship with Farouk, she said, but she anticipates speaking with federal agents in the coming days. And they go to great pains to say, you know, he often wore a Star of David tie clip. Because, see, that's how it is with the Muslims. I mean, they're just driven into fits of rage by even the merest manifestation of you know, Jewishness. It just makes them crazy. I know. 14 dead, 21 injured, but no, it was it, 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 they were just, I guess, collateral damage because it was really him that she was after. Meanwhile, Kulimi Stevens said, well, yeah, I mean, I knew that they'd talked about Israel's role in the Middle East. And she said, though, you know, it didn't set off any alarm bells or whistles for me. But, and you know, all the sympathy in the world for this grieving woman. But more than that, Carol, it's the fact that the Hannity Jobs producer team is out there. Do you think that he was specifically targeted? Yes, I do. With AK-47s that are not particularly known for their accuracy, they just spray a lot of fire in a hurry.
Exactly.
So, that, yeah.
And now you know why I find comfort in things like the tweet of God.
I love the tweet of God.
Did you see what he wrote this morning?
No, I didn't. What did the Almighty have to say today?
The Almighty said, Donald Trump is a huge asshole who was ahead in the polls because millions and millions of Americans are also huge assholes. Glory!
Praise! Because it's true.
Yeah, he kind of boils it down to under 151 characters, or 141, whatever it is.
Yeah, 140. Believe me, I know. But But this is, and again, I don't know that we're necessarily getting the commentary that we need. This is not a referendum on Donald Trump. This is a referendum on us. This is a mirror. This is a mirror that we are holding up to our own monstrous faces in this country.
Yeah, that's right.
And the reflection is Donald Trump.
Yes, it is.
But it scares it. But you know, so while we're out here on the ledge, you can tell me if I can go in on this one. I'm really beginning to be fearful of the fact that somehow or another this is making Ted Cruz look like a damn moderate.
Oh, when? Well, I'm not so sure I would round him up and put him in camp.
I mean, that's not my
is moderate.
It's not my policy. I mean,
when that's moderate, yeah, be scared.
And since he's the front runner in Iowa now, mm-hmm. He has to be careful about what he says and so forth. But guess what? Guess what happened today? They asked him again at a press conference about what he thought of Trump's remarks. And, "I do not believe the world needs my voice added to that chorus of critics."
Chicken
and
shit.
Listen, I commend Donald Trump for standing up and focusing America's attention on the need to secure our borders.
Oh, short of Ted Cruz. I'm a douchebag, too.
Yeah. And then later, taking to the twit, he said, "I will never, ever, ever shy from standing up and defending the religious liberty of every American." You know, except Muslims.
Yeah.
And it goes on and on and on about religious liberty, but what's critical there is there's only one kind in his bigoted, sick, twisted world. And that's Christianity, of course.
Of course.
And over at Think Progress, Igor Volsky points out that his plan is not that different. Trump's idea is not that different from the other Republican candidates. Marco Rubio opened to shutting down mosques. Trump wants a database. Jeb Bush says refugees must prove they're Christian. Cruz says America should only accept Christian refugees. Ben Carson says America shouldn't accept Muslim refugees. Rick Santorum says only Muslims are violent. Ben Carson says a Muslim can't be president. Scott Walker says only a handful of Muslims are moderate. And Piyush Jindal warns of Muslim no-go zones, which we covered earlier in the program, did we not?
Remember the good old days when we actually believed that George W. Bush was the stupidest the GOP had to offer?
Oh, I saw something earlier today. I long for the days when I thought that Sarah Palin was the most dangerous thing the Republican Party could ever put forward.
Oh, hell yeah. Dan Quayle looks like a goddamn Rhodes Scholar.
Freaking Solon.
I'm going to start spelling potato with an E.
Just to honor the Republic, the genius that used to be present in the Republican Party.
Can I have an amen?
Amen, Sister Carol. Amen. God bless you. God bless you sitting out here on the windy ledge. Amen. Oh, wait a minute. That's tomorrow. by the way, downright pleasant, unfrozen north, yes. Our buddy Ron says, and that reflection, meaning the reflection of Trump in the mirror, is being seen all over the world. It's making many of our friends look at us with skepticism, and those who don't like or trust us are just having their suspicions confirmed. This will bite us in the ass because we're not willing to call out this argument for retroactive birth control. More lives are going to be lost simply because we don't really have the balls to speak up. What a country.
Yeah. I watched Richard Engel get interviewed last night on Rachel Maddow, and he had spoken with some Middle Eastern ambassadors, and... is a guy who is generally known to be right on just about everything because he's in the middle of the soup.
Yeah.
And essentially what's happening is the world is looking at this and they believe that because of Donald Trump's popularity and with the volume in which he speaks that is amplified across every platform, that this is what Americans really think, and that he is endangering some very fragile foreign policy.
Well, I mean, what are our dear friends, the Saudis, our partners in peace? What are they going to say about it? They can't like this.
No,
I mean, they have to be able to send radicalized Muslims over here to marry county environmental health engineers. And maybe I just made Donald's argument for him, but you know, that's not where we're going to look.
No, it isn't.
But I think it's pretty clear that she got radicalized in Saudi Arabia. Apparently everybody gets radicalized in Saudi Arabia because you have no choice. You have to follow that. And this is not Muslim bashing, Carol. This is Wahhabi bashing. And I'm okay with that. There's no good that comes of Wahhabism. And in fact, there are some imams who will tell you that Wahhabism is in and of itself a heresy because it's something that arises in the 17th or 18th century as a response to threats of modernization and modernism reaching into the Arabian Peninsula. And there really are. There are imams. Nope, sorry, that's a heresy. You know, it's kind of like when Pope Frank says that evangelical fundamentalist amosexual that's a heresy, because it is.
Indeed.
So, but Ron adds, the Saudis will be concerned because this will threaten all of their U.S. investments with the exception of their investment in Fox News.
Yep.
Which they own half of, or not quite half of.
It's a moneymaker.
And that's why I started the program this evening talking about the lovely little business deal we've got to send them umpty bajillion dollars worth of bombs.
Right. But it doesn't help when you have the Speaker of the House who says Trump's plan is not who we are as a party, and then turn around and pledge to support him if he's the nominee.
Mm-hmm.
So how can the outside world not look at this and think that we're not taking him seriously when this is what we're getting from leadership? And I use that term very mockingly.
So let me ask your opinion. I'll put you on the spot.
Okay.
Let's see. February 31, 40. 63 days between now and New Hampshire and South Carolina comes somewhat shortly thereafter. Would you care to bet on Trump's chances in South Carolina?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'm right there with a pretty good. I mean, I'd put a fin at 4-1 on it. I don't know if I could get 4-1. I might only get 2-1. Hell, I'll bet you. They're in the home of American sedition. I'll bet you Trump is 1-1, baby.
I bet he is too. In fact, I'd be shocked if he didn't win it.
Best you can hope for is get your fin back.
Yep.
And then what? I mean, I remember the last time through, Newt Gingrich won South Carolina. And then and there were the various dalliances that the Republicans had with, under the general heading of Joe. No, please, Jesus, really, it's got to be Romney. It really has to be Romney. It's going to be Romney.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, but this is not the same dynamic. This is not, Charlie Pierce, it was the best laugh I had all day. Sometimes Charlie Pierce is the best laugh I have all days.
He's a brilliant guy.
Earlier today, he called for Jeb Bush to take his campaign out in Old Yeller at behind the barn. Just tie it to a tree and nobody comes back but you, Jeb. I did. I hooted like a barn owl because it's so evocative. You know, you've got to do it. He's sick. It's suffering now, Jeb.
Well, Jeb has this perpetual look on his face like Donald Trump is driving the car and Jeb's the dog and they're on the way to the vet. And it just occurred to Jebby that he's going to get neutered.
Mm-hmm. And just to remind him, Donald, the driver, just punches him in the sack once in a while as they drive.
You're going to miss these, fella.
Whack.
Yeah, because that's what's been going on. But there's a difference, Carol, between 2012, when the Republicans sort of knew that Romney was inevitable, and that after they got over their spasms of weirdness that he'd still be there for them.
Yes.
Jeb thought he was that.
Yeah.
He was just going to wait for all the Sturm und Drang to die down, and then American Republicans would come to their senses and go flocking to Jebbia, and you know, that's because that's how the universe is supposed to work.
Yep.
Only
he
it
thought
didn't.
He'd just weed out all the suckers and he'd fly through, but it ain't happening.
No, and the thing is, the rest of the Republican Party isn't sitting there going, well, okay, then Marco. Although apparently a bunch of them up there in your beloved native Iowegia are saying, well, then, okay, Cruz.
Yeah.
So you got that going. And then I know what you don't want to talk about from last weekend. You told me last night. I'm still bummed out.
Oh, I don't want to talk about that.
I didn't think you did, and that's why I just wanted you to remind us that you don't want to. But that's okay.
You're not gonna talk about the Iowa-Michigan game, right?
No. Michigan State. You just pissed off a lot of Michigan State alums.
That was my purpose.
But that's okay. They get to go and face Alabama, and I don't think Bama's going to come apart like they did last year.
Nah, probably not.
So, you know, because that's all I got, because we can be shallow here for a minute. Guess where my beloved Mountaineers are going after blowing a lead and losing to Kansas State? Hi, Diane.
Disneyland?
No, sorry. No, my beloved Mountaineers are going to the Motel 6 Cactus Bowl.
Oh, no.
Hurt, you know, it hurts when you sit down on that Cactus Bowl in your Motel 6.
Oh.
And we're going to play Arizona State, and we're going to lose.
Yeah.
And, it's just sad. It's just sad. sometimes it's hard to, well, it's always hard to be a Mountaineer fan. You know where the most successful Division I major college team that has never, ever, 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 ever had a national championship, not even one?
Yeah.
That's us. I mean, I...
Aww.
I want to see Dana Holgorsen wave bye-bye so badly that, or Dana Hologram, as that supporter at Miami called him. I want to give him an apple and a road map so bad I can't see straight. And from Diane, who has told us repeatedly how much she really does not care about football, I just, from the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas stand, I just got a quick, go Wildcats. I'm proud of Diane for knowing they're the Wildcats.
Indeed.
I've got a plan afoot, and here's how it works. The Mountaineers have to get out of the Big 12 because it's just not fun. Not because we get beaten a lot, but because, you know, when the nearest road game you've got is 950 miles away, you know you've made a mistake. So what we have to do is we have to get out of the Big 12, and then, I don't know, we'll send a bunch of Mountaineers down to a bunch of hillbillies down to quietly persuade Vanderbilt to get out of the SEC, and we'll take that spot. Because, I mean, really, Vandy? I mean, we can lose as well as Vandy does in the SEC.
There you go.
And that would mean a season of getting to play every year. I mean, just think about this. Every year we'd get to play Alabama and Ole Miss and Mississippi State and LSU and Arkansas. What a party.
Yes. Not to wrangle this around to the swamp again, but Ron in the not-so-frozen north just told me Jeb's mom had it figured out last year because she's watched his arrested development in its entirety. Them aging, delayed sperms and eggs can't be expected to deliver the full load of intellect.
The full load. I'm proud of you, Ron. I'm just real proud of you.
Sorry, I probably was laughing and cut that last part.
That was the full load of intellect. Yeah, because Mother Bush said the world does not need another Bush presidency, you know, a year ago. And you know, he's going to be screaming at her coffin one of these days. Thanks, Mom.
No kidding. This is your fault. But isn't Mom to blame for everything?
Well, if you're Mother Bush, yes. I mean, she potty trained her children at gunpoint. It's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a woman, and you know, this is a true story, and it's horribly tragic. There was another little Bush child once upon a time. When little dim leader was just a toddler, he had a baby sister. And I don't think Jebya had even been born yet, or Neil, or any of the other weirdos. But the little toddler, Robin Bush, got leukemia. And they sat by her bedside, and they tried to get her cured, but they didn't. And the little child died. And the day that they buried the little Bush baby, they left little Georgie with the maid, and Pappy Bush and Mammy Bush went out to the country club to play golf the day they buried their daughter.
I know. When I'm very, very upset, 18 holes usually does it for me.
Well, that, you know, that and a few doubles in the 19th hole mixed grill at the end.
I just sometimes when I need to lose myself, I go out with Buffy and Murph at the club.
Four. Yeah. Carol, thank you, dear, for joining me out on the ledge this evening. It was
always. I've missed you. I haven't talked to you in 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, it's been a while, and you know, we sit out here, and it's really cute the way the cigarette butts just kind of, you know, waft down. Most of the time, they've gone out by the time they get down the 100 stories. But sometimes, you know.
Sorry about that, fella.
Yep. Oh, sorry, buddy. Yeah.
All right, well, Cat Stevens is on walkabout, and I have to go drag his little butt back in.
Well, I understand, and you are in the drawing.
Yay!
And so, at this point in time, you have a 50% chance.
Yay! But come on, you guys. Don't you want to, like, knock my odds down just a little?
Yeah. Everybody gets a chance who contributes between now and Monday. And it's...
You know, okay.
And I'm gonna and Agnes is gonna do the drawing, so I will literally not have a hand in it.
Cool. So I should make the check out to Agnes Viking Warrior Princess.
Right. Yes. Just Agnes. Okay. Agnes VWP.
Okay.
That's V period WP period P period. We don't want any trouble at the bank.
There you go.
All right, Carol. Take care.
You too, buddy. Have a great night.
Bye now.
Bye.
The one and only Queen of the Minions, Carol Baker. 10 minutes before the hour, and I'm all trumped out. I am so thoroughly, disgustingly trumped out, I can barely express it. So hey, let's find something else charming to talk about. Let's go out to Iowegia, since we were talking about Iowegia. I really did hate to hear the way the Hawkeyes lost the other night. That was just awful. That was, arguably, that was more awful than the way the Mountaineers lost, because I'm just kind of used to that. But, no, this story actually goes back a week. And, there is a Republican from Iowa named... and he's a state senator. He's in the state legislature right now. And his name is Mark Chelgren, or Chelgren, C-H-E-L-G-R-E-N. Mm-hmm. Here's the newspaper account, because why not? Let's close the program screaming. State Senator Mark Chelgren. Hold on here. Might have a call coming in. Just a minute. Never mind, State Senator Mark Chelgren. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello?
Hello?
There you are.
Hi.
Hi.
Who am I speaking to?
This is Bob. Who am I speaking to?
In Lexington. I was trying to get the horn.
This is the horn. This is Bob Kincaid.
Oh, Bob. Is it really?
Yes, it really is.
This is Kim in New Jersey.
Oh, Kim, goodness me.
Huh?
Welcome up. Yes, welcome, welcome. I'm glad you called.
Kim and Malin. You know Malin?
Yes, yes, I know Malin. I remember Malin well. And I recognized you once you told me who it was.
I probably haven't called lately, but or maybe ever. And I was mainly calling because we did one of those $10 subscriptions over the weekend.
Oh, was that you? Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you.
I was just hoping that you had gotten it because I got a receipt back from PayPal, and we were just hoping that you got it.
Yes, so, we did, and it landed, and thank you very much. We are slowly inching our way toward having 100 subscribers, which is just awesome.
That's great, because I'm listening to you on your show, but I don't hear you on your show. Is there a delay on that, or what?
No, you shouldn't be hearing. Well, I don't know what you got on the background, Kim, but you should. This is the program.
Okay, because I was just listening to Carol, and you talk about football.
Right. That was live.
That was live.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Great. Okay. Well, anyway, I just wanted to wish you luck. We listen all the time, and we decided finally to do the recurring subscription, get you up to your 400 club or whatever, and that's just it. Just wanted to wish you the best.
Well, thank you so very much, Kim, and please tell Malin I said hi, because, gosh, we all go a very long way back now, don't we?
I think you go a very long way back. I think you... used to sign in as Jersey, so
yes.
So that's
and was part of the community that built up around Peter Godbold's Strictly Confidential as well.
That's right, and we listen to his reruns all the time. So
really,
we really do, and we really. I mean, they're very dated, but they're still somehow very relevant to what's going on. So we have a good time with.
And the music is awesome.
Yeah. So. Say hello to Agnes for us, and I'll let you go, and best of luck.
Well, thank you so much, Kim. It is an absolute joy to hear from you, and thank you again for becoming a subscriber, and for letting others know that you had. See, you did it, and it didn't even hurt, did it?
It really didn't. It really didn't. Very painless, actually.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you so much, and you and Malin have a wonderful evening, okay?
Okay, you too.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. And yes, Kim and Malin do really go a long, long way back with the horn, like 8-9 years. No kidding. It's a rare treat to hear from both of them. And wander on by the chat room just any old time you want to. Let's check in real quick with Jay Cruzen and see what he's into in the last couple of remaining moments of the program. What do you know, Jay Cruzen?
Hey, Mr. Kincaid, sir, how are you this evening?
Oh, I'm just fine as frog's hair, if you must know.
Well, I just called to share an experience I had this afternoon. I had a phone call from the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee.
Oh, well, goodness me.
And they were trying to solicit some financial backing from myself, and I pretty much told them to go and kneel down and wait for it to come back to them in the yards.
Or, you know, piss up a rope. That's always an availability as well. You didn't bother to suggest to them that...
sir. The gentleman that called me and I, we had a long conversation, and he pretty much expressed to me that he did not... actually was not employed by that organization, and his political views were pretty much in line with mine.
Bernie guy, is he?
Well, I'm not too sure about that, but he definitely called Hillary the heir apparent, which is a phrase that I believe I have heard before.
I believe as well, although now we refer to Donald Trump as the heir apparent.
Well, you know that piece of frog hair on that man's ass is just I don't know which is worse, the ass or the hair or the frog.
Or where the ass is, up on top of his shoulders. See, there's always that, too.
I'm not too sure about that. Yeah, but anyway.
Well, I'm glad you had a lovely time with the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. They're a lovely bunch. I remember when they managed to screw us right out of a House majority once. Thanks, Rahm Emanuel. What a great guy. Just ask him. He'll tell you.
Yeah, ain't he great? I turned around, and right after that, I went ahead and went to the PCCC, the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, and signed up for $50 a month right there.
Very nice. Very nice.
Piss in your eye, you know. I'll give it to the Elizabeth Warren wing.
Yeah. Who recently, she stopped short of actually endorsing Hillary, but she said she approved of her banking regulation plan.
Oh, Jesus God. Don't even, please. Bob.
Sorry.
Don't.
Yep, right in the Wheaties. Sorry about that, Jay Cruzen.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep, really. I wouldn't lie to you. But it was not an endorsement. She has not done that.
Well, I got a freaking endorsement email from, what's his name, the guy from Minnesota, the senator.
Jesus, really? That's going to happen to both of us?
Yeah, both of us at the same freaking time right now.
Al Franken.
Saying that I should be supporting Hillary. He said, I am in line supporting Hillary, and I was wondering why you have not signed yet, blah, 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 blah. And that's the email I got. And I'm like,
call me. I'll explain it.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
I don't get it, Bob. I just don't get it. Well, for me, it's Bernie or just let it burn. Feel the burn. Or let it burn.
See, I'm not there.
I'm there.
I'm not. I can't do that because there's too many. There are too many grannies, too many granddads, too many children who need to like continue eating food.
Well, it's only a matter of time, you know. I mean, you spare them now, but you kill all the rest of us down the road.
Now, see, dadgummit, you can't open up a conversational topic like this in the last 2 minutes of the program, Jay Cruzen. Dadgummit.
I understand. And you know what? From here in the flooded South Florida frickin' water hole that we live in.
Water world. Where's Kevin Costner and those web toes?
Yeah. Have a good night.
Yeah, see you. See you, Jay Cruzen. Bye now. And we got to get out of here. And we've got to remember, as we wrap up, everybody who contributes between now and Moran Monday will be entered in a drawing to win one of the two remaining magnificent works of feather art that we have. One of two remaining. So that's out there. And right now, if the next person will have a 1 in 3 chance. Right now, it's 1 in 2. It's between Jan and Carol. So, yeah, you want to have a run at it? Do please. Thanks everybody for joining in. Thanks everybody for making all of this go. Thank you very kindly. We'll be back for prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow, and maybe it can be a Trumpless prayer meeting Wednesday. But that's all we're doing is hoping. As always, thanks go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And yes, always, 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 Gina. It's all for you. Good night, y'all.